Oh my gosh, what a day this is. So you'll notice I'm wearing my Australia shirt because today, January 26th, is Australia Day. Go Aussies! As you all know, I'm married to an Aussie man. And I said, I need a story to open up the church service with. Can you find me one? And of course he did because he's so wonderful. So here we go. So Aussie taxi driver picks up a guy at the airport. He's going to tour him around Sydney. Guy turns out to be Texan. He's sitting in the back seat of the car, and he's marveling at all the many sights in Sydney, and he's kind of bragging, oh, yeah, we always do things better in Texas, and, you know, we do things bigger and better. It's Texas. So he points to the Sydney Tower and he says, oh, that's a nice building. How long do you think it took him to build that building? He goes, I don't know. I don't know, mate. I don't know if I can do an Aussie accent, so just bear with me. Oh, I don't know, mate. Maybe a year? Maybe a year? And the Texan said, oh, brother, a year? Gosh, in Texas, we could have built that in 6 months. So then he's driving along and they're going over the bridge, you know, that famous Sydney Bridge that's so beautiful. And the Texan says, hey, how long do you think it took him to build this bridge? He says, well, I don't know, but I think it took him about 2 years to build this bridge. And the Texan just laughs. He goes, oh, come on. In Texas, we could have built this bridge in 1 year, maximum, maximum. Taxi driver's just rolling his eyes. And finally, they go by the Sydney Opera House. Have you seen the Sydney Opera House? It's amazing. It looks like a lotus flower. It's gorgeous. And the guy's like, wow, look at that building over there. How long did it take him to build that building? And the taxi driver looks at him and he goes, I don't know, mate. It sure wasn't here yesterday. Those are the Aussies for you, right? That's the Aussies for you. They're so awesome. Yeah, there you go. So, and now, also coming up, we have Kumbh Mela going on in India right now, which is every 12 years they have this gathering in India, in Kailash, where the three rivers meet, the Saraswati, the Yamuna, and the Ganges. It's a very sacred space. And millions of people go. I mean, like, so many people go. So that's going on right now. So we can tap into that energy of all the people there in our meditations and stuff and kind of ride that wave. Starting January 29th, it's the Chinese New Year. We've got the Year of the Snake coming up. What do you think that means for the Year of the Snake? You know how on medical doctors, they've got that sword or whatever, and there's a snake wrapped around it? The snake signifies healing and transformation. So this should be a very important year for us of healing and transformation. And also in numerological terms, 2025 is a 9 year, which means ending, finishing the old and bringing in the new. New beginnings for all of us. So this should be a really powerful year. It's a really powerful time for all of us. And also, starting yesterday, it was when all the planets were aligned. Did you hear about this? This is a very rare occurrence. So there's a lot of good energy going on in this time and space where we are right now. And I want us to really appreciate that and to kind of dive deep into that, feel it, and let it transform ourselves as well. You know, there's a lot of ways that we can think about energy, God, the universe, a lot of analogies. And how did this come about? Well, in India and in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, You are not this body. You are not this mind. And one time when a guru was teaching this to his class, one of the students says, well, wait. Well, then what am I? And he said, well, you can't really point to anything that you are because you're not even human. And he says, wait, I'm not human? And there's this principle in Vedanta, neti neti, not this, not this. And he's like, this is what you are not. And he says, well, am I a stone? No. Am I a plant? No. Am I an animal? No. You are more than this. But there's nothing that he could point to say you are that, because you are all that and so much more. How do you describe Brahman? How do you describe God? Well, in the Bible, there's a few different ways that I thought we could look at. And one of them I thought was very interesting, given all the fires we've been through in Southern California. But God is sometimes described as fire, all-consuming. And the way you can think about this is that whatever you put into fire becomes fire. For example, let's say you put some wood. Wood is heavy and sturdy and hard, right? But say you put some wood into fire. Does fire become wood? Does the wood put out the fire? No. The fire consumes the wood. The wood becomes fire. And that's how God is within us. We are that. And when we can tap into that energy, we can feel it, we can use it, we have the strength, we have the wisdom, we have the power, our God-given power, because it is God in us. It is us in God. We are working in that space. So we need to surrender to it. Just as the wood, when it goes into the fire and becomes fire, that wood becomes free. It's no longer heavy and a burden and hard, right? It's light and airy and free. And we can transform ourselves into being light and free as well, into letting that light take us over. We can let us transform us because we are that. So another analogy in the Bible is that they say God is like shade. And this is kind of a comforting analogy, right? Under the shade of the tree, we're protected from wind, we're protected from the sun, we can take shelter, we can find peace. It's comfortable there, right? We're protected from the harshness of life. We're in the shade. But there's a deeper meaning in the same passage that's sometimes translated into, instead of God is like shade, God is like shadow. God is like our shadow. And what they mean by that is that when we're out in the sun, we're connected to our shadow. We can't separate from it. There's nothing we can do. We can dance around all crazy. The shadow does exactly what we do. Who's in control of the shadow? Is the shadow telling us what to do? No, we are moving freely. We are the ones who are making that shadow move. This is kind of like our life, although sometimes we don't know it. Is God telling us what to do? No, God may make some suggestions. God may give us some hints or whatever, but it's all up to us. We're making the decisions. That's just the way it goes. But whatever we put out, just like us with our shadow, whatever moves we put out, are reciprocated. They come back to us. So we need to focus on positively initiating the actions that we take so that what good and positive comes back to us, what good and positive goes out into the world, because we're in control in that way. So I think that's a beautiful analogy, that God is like our shadow. And then a lot of people say God is love, or God is like love. And I think we can all resonate with that. You know, we, as little children, we had love for our parents. Growing up, I don't know. Oh my gosh, you know, they say the one sure thing about having kids is that your kids are going to end up in therapy complaining about you. And I think that's true. But that's our first relationship in life. I mean, our first relationship is God, yes. But we experience God through our mother's eyes, through our mother's care, through, you know, our father's guidance. Whatever it is in those relationships to us, we are innocent and vulnerable, and we're reliant on them. So that's how we first experience God, with that love. And as a parent, you have this little innocent baby, and even if you're not a parent to a human child, you may have a fur child, a pet. Like, I know my cat, I love her unconditionally. Unconditionally. I look in her eyes and I see God. This morning, she usually sleeps by my head, which is an interesting place for a cat to sleep. But as I understand from the philosophy on Instagram, when a cat sleeps by your head, that means that the cat thinks that you're her mother, which I think is very sweet. So this morning, she's sleeping by my head, and I hear these little, like, she's snoring. And I thought it was like the cutest thing. And I just smiled with love in my heart. And I thought, now this is a meditation. You know, this is a meditation. I didn't go like, Claire, wake up. You're keeping me awake or anything. No, I'm like, I'm just going to listen to it and appreciate it and love it. And it just made me feel so good inside that I have this little companion that just is pure love. You know, pure love. And I think we've all had the experience also of falling in love. When you have someone who just takes your breath away, someone who sweeps you off your feet, that falling in love feeling. But the truth is, when we're falling in love, that feeling of being in love, we're not getting that from the other person. That comes from within us. What we're feeling is our connection to God. We're seeing God within that person. We're having that experience of vulnerability, of that rare feeling of closeness. Like, we're so close to God that we can't really see God. But when we look in the mirror, we can kind of see God in our own eyes. When we look at a person that we love so dearly, that gives us that feeling of, I am loved. Who loves us? God loves us. But that's the thing, is sometimes it takes these analogies and these personifications, because God is formless. God, Brahman, is formless. But sometimes it takes a form, like a baby or a pet or a child or a beloved, to help us connect with God, to help us connect with the God within us. And I think that's what we do also with Jesus Christ in the Bible. We, you know, Christians, I love Jesus. I'm not even a Christian. I love Jesus. I love Buddha. I love Krishna. And when we celebrate those avatars who have been here on earth, demonstrating to us what it's like to be so near God, what it's like to express God, what it is possible for us to be and do and experience in this life, how can you not love that? It's all about love. So falling in love, being in love, loving someone is our opportunity to expand our capacity to feel and to feel our connection with the divine. Yeah. God works in mysterious ways. Some things, sometimes we don't understand. I heard this little, I guess you could call it trivia, but it's nature. And God is nature. That's another thing God is, right? This divine plan that works. Who could ever design the seasons? Who could ever design the sunrise and sunset and all that? Only God, right? Okay, so squirrels. Let's talk about squirrels for a minute. Okay. Squirrels, we've all seen them bury their nuts. And we know that what they're doing is they're saving it for winter when there's not so many nuts available. They're just squirreling them away for another time. We've got so many squirrels in our backyard. Oh my gosh, tons of squirrels. And they're always digging their nuts, burying their nuts. And a lot of times they bury them in my potted plants on the patio. And they leave their mess and everything. But I'm like, okay, fine, squirrel. Do you. You know, I'm not going to bother you. But did you know? This is the interesting part. 80% of the nuts that the squirrels bury, they forget where they are. They can't find them. They forget where they are. They lose them. 80%. But guess what happens? Trees grow. Maybe this is part of God's divine plan. These little squirrels are like little Johnny Appleseeds, right? They're planting trees, burying them in the ground. Maybe, you know, if the acorn just fell on top of the ground, there's a chance it might grow into a tree. But hey, if a squirrel buries it in there, there's a much better chance it's going to grow into be a tree, right? So those little squirrels are divine creatures. Everything in this world is such a divine experience. And everything is God speaking to us in some way. Everything we see, everything we experience. But too often, we're on our phone, or we're spacing out, or we're watching TV, or we're listening to the radio, and we miss it. So we really need to pay attention. It's like, we all want happiness. But did you know the word happiness comes from the root word happen or happenstance? And it's a very passive thing. Happiness comes, happiness goes. Happiness happens, and then it doesn't happen. It's like that, you know? So why are we chasing happiness? What we need to do instead is to cultivate joy, because joy comes from within us. Joy is something we can experience like love. Joy bubbles up from within us. Joy is a decision. And we can make a decision to be a giver. The messages that God sends us are all like signposts showing us how we can experience joy, how we can be a giver. Because by being a giver, we experience joy. And I think we've all had that experience, you know? Sometimes it's just so much more fun to give a present to someone and see the happiness on their face than it is to receive a present. I know for me, it's really awkward. I feel like, oh, I don't deserve it. Or you went to so much trouble and you didn't have to do that, you know? But I don't do that anymore because I realize if I say, no, you shouldn't have or whatever, I'm taking away the feeling from the giver of the joy of seeing me just delighting in it. So now I'm much more aware of that kind of thing. And we need to really anticipate that. And sometimes it's just giving advice. Sometimes it's just giving an ear to listen. Sometimes it's just giving a shoulder to cry on. There's this really cute story that I heard this rabbi say on Instagram. He said these two little kids were playing rabbi and follower, like rabbi and congregant. Like, you know, you go to the temple and you're the congregant. So they took turns. So the big brother says, okay, I'll be the rabbi first. You be the congregant and you come in and ask for advice and then I'll give you advice. Okay. So the older brother says, okay, I'm the rabbi. Ask me for advice. So the little brother says, okay, I need some advice. I need to know what to do about, you know, my teacher, this, that, and the other thing. And the older kid says, well, my child, you should do this, that, and the other thing. And the kid says, okay. And then the big brother says, wait, aren't I a good rabbi? Didn't I give you a good advice? Aren't you supposed to say thank you and everything? He said, no, no, no. You didn't give me good advice. He said, what did I do wrong? And the kid said, you forgot to sigh. And he said, what do you mean I forgot to sigh? He goes, when you go to the rabbi and he goes to give you advice, you ask your question, and then he goes, oh. And then he gives you the advice. And what are we to learn from this? In that sigh, that's the empathy. That's the compassion. That's the heart-to-heart communication that goes on. So that the person is now open to receiving the advice because he knows it's coming from a good place. Isn't that interesting? And so wise. And actually, this rabbi said that the younger brother who said that, you forgot to sigh, he grew up to be a rabbi. Isn't that good? He was an old soul. Anyhow, my time's up, but I could go on forever. So actually, I forgot the main thing. This is called certainly certainty. What is certainty? Certainty is knowing that everything that happens at any time, no matter how we judge it, good, bad, indifferent, everything that happens to us at any time, yesterday, tomorrow, today, is for our spiritual growth. That's what certainty is. Certainty is knowing that God is behind all actions, all activities, all words, everything. So even as we've all experienced, when someone harms you, we can pray, let this transform me. Let me find out the deeper meaning behind this. I'm okay because I know that this is for my higher spiritual growth, and I am okay. So there's this little prayer. This is all Kabbalah stuff, which I think is like so cool. I thought we'd just end this with a prayer. So everybody just close your eyes, if get comfortable if you like. I pray for and I pray with the certainty, the clarity, the wisdom, and the strength to overcome any challenges that come my way. I see obstacles as opportunities. I recognize the light in the dark. I continue to expand my capacity to receive and accept divine light and love. And so it is. Om Tat Sat. Amen.
Ta-da.